You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon, everyone. If you've joined us for the very first time, my name is Martin. If you're wondering when you came in why we are in uniform, we have this extra mile, is because today is a special Sunday, and it is called Volunteer Weekend. And it is that time of the year where we recommit our commitment to the ministry. If ever you've been with us for the past how many years, you know for a fact that we do this every single year. Victory Dumaguete, our mission has always been to honor God and make disciples. And one of the avenues that we have to honor God and make disciples, to do just both, is through serving in the different ministries that we have. If you are here, if you are part of a ministry, why don't you proudly stand on your feet so that we can acknowledge? If you're here and you are part of the tech ministry, the music ministry, why don't you proudly stand on your feet so that everyone can acknowledge? Wow, why don't we give them a round of applause, please, everyone? Yes. All right, from the tech ministry, from the music ministry. And if you're here, if you're not yet part of one, after the service, because after the service, we'll be committing the time to sign up and to think about and pray about the ministry that you'll be committing for one entire year. All right, our word today is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's just one verse. It says there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Let's look at the verse. It says there, "For we are God's workmanship." Now, if you think about the word workmanship, what comes into your mind? Anything that is created. If you think about the Greek word of workmanship, it actually comes from the Greek word poema, where we got the word poem, which actually means that which has been made. So anything that has been made or a result of something is workmanship. It's a masterpiece. And the Bible says, we are God's workmanship. Now, if you'll try to look at the things around you, this is like a gallery. Who among you here, you love watching paintings, or you've been to an art gallery before? I actually love looking at painting. I know some paintings, even in the Philippines, are so expensive. You can pay an entire house for one single painting. What is the most expensive painting that you know? The Philippines, we have what we call spolarium, perhaps around 200 million pesos. The most expensive, if you try to look at everything around, there are a lot of paintings here, and there are different prices with different paintings. But when I tried to search on Google, the most expensive painting ever in existence is what we call the Salvador Mundi. This was painted by the great Leonardo da Vinci, the Italian Renaissance polymath. When you say a polymath, he's not just a painter, he's also an architect, a designer, an inventor, a scientist, a mathematician, everything. I mean, in the time of Leonardo da Vinci, if you're so-called a genius, you ought to know everything. You don't just know about chemistry and master physics, but you ought to know about everything. He's an inventor. And Leonardo da Vinci right here painted one of his late paintings with Salvador Mundi. And take note, this has been tagged to a certain price. There was an auction that people tried to bid on the price or the value of this painting. And guess what? The value of this painting called Salvador Mundi is actually worth $450 million for one single painting. Just for it to be relevant to us, because we're not actually dollars, that's around 22.5 billion pesos. If you have this much money, you can actually pay an entire country's debt for one single painting. There are some other paintings that I stumbled upon Google that have actually ridiculous pricings and values. But if you try to look at it, it's not really that much of a cost. Say, for example, the White Center painting. This is called the White Center painting by Mark Rothko. Mark Rothko is an American painter, and his artistic style is what they call abstract expressionism, whatever that means. Abstract expressionism. So he's an abstract expressionist who paints out of his emotions, who paints out of his craft. And take note, this is valued $74.9 million. That's $3.7 billion for three palettes of colors. I mean, if you'll think about it, perhaps your 5-year-old child can paint something better than this. If you're an art enthusiast, of course, you'll beg to disagree because you'll begin to weigh in the medium, the way it's made, the canvas and whatnot. However, if you think about it, it's too expensive for this type of painting. Another one is what we call the Anna's Light, just like that. Painted by Barnett Newman, an American painter who has a Jewish descent, who is actually a Jew also. And this painting right here is also an abstract expressionism. And guess what? The worth of this painting, however worthless it may seem, is actually worth $105.7 million. I mean, that's a whooping 5.3 billion pesos in total. If you were to pick whether to buy this painting or to buy a mansion, I would rather go with a mansion. I mean, this is ridiculous, as they may say. I'm not really against it. The third one, the last one, is what we call the Painter. I'm not sure if that's pronounced well. Painter by John Miro. Perhaps you might think about it as something sophisticated, something very, very beyond metaphysics or whatnot. This is actually painted by a Spanish painter named Joan Miró. This is just one of the 1,000 paintings, perhaps, or 100 paintings that he has with the same artistic style. So you can imagine that most of his paintings look like this. I mean, a 4-year-old child can paint better. Guess what? This is worth $2.2 million, 110 million pesos. Why are these paintings so expensive? If you think about it, why are all these paintings ridiculously expensive? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, it's the artist who determines the value of the artwork. Ultimately, the worth of the artist, if I'm Leonardo da Vinci, if I paint something with one stroke, I can sell that with $1 million. Because ultimately, the artist determines the value of the artwork. Guess what? The Bible says that we are God's workmanship. We are His masterpiece. Thereby, you don't look down on yourself when you are down, because the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are His masterpiece, the Bible says. In Psalm 139, verse 13, David said, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." God knows the very number of your hairs. He crafted you. Every single cell about you is made by God. You are God's masterpiece. If all of these paintings have a cost, it has a price. We have a certain amount of price. The Bible always tells us that you were bought at a certain price. Every single time you read the Bible would always tell you that you are bought at a price. And your value is not worth the amount of gold or silver in the world. Your value is not $450 million. Your value is not 22.5 billion pesos. That's why you have to put a price tag on yourself. Why? Because the Bible says your value is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago. That is your ultimate value. The artwork is determined by the value of the artist. And God is our artist, our grand weaver. Our price is the blood of Jesus Christ. We were created by God, and God purchased us second time by His own life. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. In another translation, it says there, Christ bought us with His blood and made us free from the law. You know what? If you try to buy something, its value would either appreciate or depreciate in time. If you try to buy gold, its value would either appreciate or depreciate. Now, if you try to buy something valuable right now, just like iPhone 10, perhaps the most expensive phone ever made. If you buy an iPhone 10 in 2018, its worth will be $1,000. 74,000 pesos for a single phone. And guess what? Give it 2 years. Give it 3 years, 4 years. Its value will depreciate every single year. Guess what? God bought us 2,000 years ago on the cross. And up until now, our value has never ever depreciated. Up until this very day. For eternity. But here's the catch. You were bought at a high price. You're bought with his own life. For what? You know what? If you buy something, you don't buy something from the store and just put it on your table. You don't buy an iPhone 10 and just put it in your cabinet for 3 years. You buy something because you know you're going to use it for something important. God bought us at a price, at a certain price, for a certain purpose. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:20, "For you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body." There is a catch. God bought you for a certain purpose. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." For good works. Yes, we can argue that you are saved not by works. Yes, not by works. But you are saved for good works. That's why we ought to work out our salvation. We don't simply claim to be Christians and yet become closet Christians. We are Christians on a Sunday, on a weekday, we're back to our normal lives. We ought not to be closet Christians because we ought to work out our salvation. God bought us to be the salt and light of the world. When you go back to your campus, is there a difference? God bought you at a price to make a difference in this world. God didn't buy you just for you to become a couch potato. God didn't buy you just for you to become lazy, to become someone God hasn't called you to be. God has a wonderful life prepared for every single one of us here. There's a wonderful life that you could not even imagine. The Bible says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard for what God has prepared for those who love him. A man is not justified by works, but a justified man works. You know what? Good works there, if you'll try to look at it from the Greek, good works there comes from the word agathos, which actually means profitable, benefiting others. So when you say you're good, it benefits someone else. It's not selfish. It's selfless. One of the best ways we can benefit others is through serving them. If you want good works, if you want to embrace your calling as his people, then you ought to understand that we exist for the unchurched. The church exists for the unchurched. Statistics would say that out of the 7 billion people in the world right now living, including you and I, more than 1 billion people in the world are actively involved in volunteer work. I have here pictures of nonprofit organizations all around the world. Now, if you'll think about it, great movements with great causes are mostly run by volunteers. Volunteers who are able to invest their time, their energy, their passion, their vision, even if they're not paid. If there are causes out there in the world that are thriving, that require volunteer work. You know what? Victory Dumaguete has been existing for 17 years now. And believe it or not, Victory Dumaguete has been run by volunteers for the past 16 years. All of these people that you see here are our faithful volunteers. We can't have a wonderful worship experience without this place being set up Saturday after Saturday. The reason why we can enjoy looking at our screens, looking at all the lights right here is because people set it up. Because there are tech people who come here Saturday after Saturday to set up the entire place. And the reason why you're sitting comfortably on your chairs, it's because there are people who invested their time, their energy to put these things up. And in the same way that we worship God, there are people who are leading us in the way. Now, this gives me a picture that indeed there's no one's actually too busy not to volunteer. You might say you are a busy person. I am a college student, Mark. I am so busy. You know, I don't have time for that on a Saturday, on a Sunday, on a weekday. I am a working professional. I am a CEO. I am something. You know what? My leader would always tell me, no one is too busy not to volunteer. There's always time for everything. You know what? If you want something, then you'll always make time for it. I have here a few pictures of people who are faithful volunteers that we have for the past few years. One of which, the person in blue, his name is Glenn Nunez. And he's a full-time supervisor in a call center. And I know his workload in the office because we have the same job. How tough, the pressure from the managers up until the agents. There's just tons of work. And guess what? He's also a full-time father. But guess what? He comes here every single Saturday, set up the place, have sleepless nights, because he understands that all these are but seed that may sprout and bless other people in the future. And guess what? He's also here serving in a Sunday service. Just try to imagine all of these people. I also have here Kuya Weepy right there. He's a full-time professional by day, full-time tech on a Saturday and Sunday. And he gets to serve on a regular basis on a Saturday and Sunday. There is no excuse. And if you're here, you're a student. Yeah, I'm a student. I have so much workload. Saturday, one of our most active volunteers, his name is Agustin Bass. Perhaps he's here and everyone knows him. He's a full-time student. Perhaps he doesn't have a failing grade. And yet he gets to volunteer actively in the different ministries that we have. No one is too busy not to volunteer. One good friend of mine, one of my mentors, Adonis Sanico, he's a full-time banker and a full-time dad. And of course, if you're a full-time dad, you're a full-time husband. But you know the pressure of being a dad, all your responsibilities. But still, they had time to serve. No one is going to be too busy not to volunteer. And why is that so? Why do we value volunteer work? Because volunteer work builds up your character. Before I worked in the corporate world, my character was built up so that I will be ready to face any obstacle, any challenge that the world may bring. Last week, we've talked about corrections. And you know what? In the ministry, you'll get a lot of that. You can only grow if someone spurs you or corrects you. You know, if you go to the office, most of the offices, you're not corrected, actually. You're being scolded. That's something different. But in the ministry, correction is a culture. Correction is something that we have to spur each other, to help one another out. Going back to our verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship, a masterpiece. And take note, a masterpiece isn't built overnight. A masterpiece takes time. A masterpiece takes effort. A masterpiece takes maybe money, even an entire lifetime to achieve. A masterpiece takes so much of our time, but it's always going to be worth it. Volunteering also honors God with our giftings. And what there are gifts or talents that you have that your seatmate does not have. There are gifts and talents that you have that I don't have. And together, things are always going to be better. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11, this is quite lengthy. It says there are different kinds of gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who gives them. There are different kinds of work to be done for him, but the work is for the same Lord. There are different kinds or ways of doing his work, but it is the same God who uses all these ways in all people. The Holy Spirit works in each person in one way or another for the good of all. One person is given the gift of teaching, words of wisdom. Another person is given the gift of teaching what he has learned and knows. These gifts are by the same Holy Spirit. One person receives the gift of faith. Another person receives the gift of healing. These gifts are given by the same Holy Spirit. One person is given the gift of doing powerful works. Another person is given the gift of speaking God's word. Another person is given the gift of telling the difference between the Holy Spirit and false prophets. Another person is given the gift of speaking in special sounds. Another person is given the gift of telling what these special sounds mean. But it is the same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, who does all these things. He gives to each person as he wants to give. The Bible is clear. Every single one of us here has a talent, has a gift, and God gave it to us. We have different ministries here. If you're thinking of that kind of gift right now, we have a role that is open for you. Then you are most certainly welcome to embrace this kind of role. Now, why don't you tell the person seated next to you, you have a gift. And it's fine time, it's but time for us to use that gift for the advancement of God's kingdom. You know what? If you have money, you invest your money to something that is substantial, something that is worth of its value. We ought to invest our gifts wisely. Well, if you'll think about it, Victory Dumaguete has been existing for 17 years. Think about long term. If you volunteer now, think about 10 years from now. You know what? When I started volunteering, the church was just around 300, 400 people back in Tavern days in 2009, 2010. And now we're more than 1,000. Guess what? 10 years from now, try to think about it. The Bible says that we will be growing. It's forcefully advancing. The Bible is sure and clear that God's kingdom is forcefully advancing whether we're in it or not. And if we sign up now, you know what? You'll begin to look back and say, hey, I was part of that. I was part of the first ministry back 10 years ago. I was part of that. We will become big. If you try to look at market charts, if you love to trade, you love market charts, you love investments, if something has potential growth, you'll invest your life into it. The Bible says that God's kingdom is like a mustard seed. If you think about what a mustard seed looks like, it looks like this. It's one of the smallest seeds in the world. It's so small. The Bible says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Forcefully advancing. You know what a mustard tree looks like? A mustard tree looks like this. A mustard tree looks like that. That gives me a picture of exponential growth. Now, the Bible says that God's kingdom, right now, we are like a mustard seed. Imagine the exponential growth that God will be bringing 10 years, 20 years from now. Going back to our verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Take note of the word we there. We should walk in them. We were bought at a certain price, at such a high price for a certain purpose. It's to do good works. And the Bible says that we should walk in there. We there simply means that we'll do this together. That we are all in this together. That you're not going to be alone in the battlefield. That you're not going to be alone serving the Lord with your life. Because we are a church community. There are people around you. And the Bible always says that two is better than one. Three are better than one. Because if you fall down, who's going to pull you up? You know what? As a church community, this is our vision. To work together. Our goal has always been to disciple Dumaguete City. To disciple the entire city. Or a percentage of the city. We start one person at a time. One campus at a time. One company at a time. And the avenue in which we can accommodate these people is through our services, the four services that we have. And it's fine time for us to take part in this vision of honoring God and make disciples in this city through volunteering in our ministries. You know what? You need people in your life. You need people to correct you. You need people to encourage you. You need a community. You can't get a community outside of the church. Yes, you can, but the only thing that they can give you is their worldly advices. They'll give you tons of experiences, advice after advice. But if you are in a church community, what people give you from the church is godly advice deeply rooted in the Word of God. The Word of God that has been proven and tested for a very long time.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.